Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for a noon kick.
Let's go, babe. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
This is Danny and Dusty on Football Friday.
You gotta see it. You gotta see it.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon! Happy Football Friday! Let's go!
I'll find a way to work basketball in there.
You get 1 minute for basketball today. We will do a basketball minute because it is Football Friday and there is so much good football. I think basketball, and we have to do, how about this? We'll use a 45 segment today. You get a basketball minute, nothing but basketball bangers. And I'll go baseball minute.
Ooh.
World Series bangers.
Underway.
I love the World Series.
Who doesn't?
I love Major League Baseball postseason.
Even if you're not a baseball fan, I feel like it's hard to hate the World Series.
Yeah, if you're like a Red Sox or a Giants fan, you're probably hating this one.
I know, but you're going to hate watch because you're going to root for your rival to lose.
You are. But then it's like, I mean, what are we doing here? It was like rooting for the Lions in the Coliseum to win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
some people did.
No matter which way you pull on this, you are rooting for evil. Yankees, Doyers. And I'm here for it. I love it. I was talking to young Jake, digital Jake out there, who works here. He's from New York. I actually met up with him when I went to New York, and Yankees Mariners game. The Mariners happened to be there.
All of the teams to play.
All the teams in Major League Baseball. The friggin' Mariners. But ended up meeting up with him at that game, and we went to a bar called Billy's, named after Billy Martin, right across the street from Yankee Stadium. Great bar. Amazing time had. But he's a big-time Yankee fan. And he said to me, I've been waiting 15 years for this. And I chuckled because I was like, yeah, okay. But then I thought of it from his perspective. He's fresh out of college. Like he was a young lad the last time the Yankees were in the World Series.
Yeah.
He doesn't really know his like true sports fandom of the Yankees being the evil empire, actually good baseball team. He's probably living in this, like, he probably has a victim mentality here. Like, we haven't won a World Series since I've been in high school or middle school. It's been 15 years. Guys, what do you think Jake is, like 23?
Sure, right in there.
23. Yeah. So you go back 15 years. I mean, he was a wee little lad.
You know, mom and dad are still picking out your clothes.
He was 8 years old. Yeah. He was like my son's age the last time the Yankees won a World Series.
You're definitely asking where your shoes were.
Yeah, but he's probably sitting there and he's going, oh, I can assure you he's asking where his shoes were. Dude, that is infuriating. It's like, I don't know, where did you take them off? Where do mom and dad always put your damn shoes when you leave them in the middle of the living room?
Have you attempted tying like one of those air tags to them?
No. You know what we did do one time, though? We rocked, we put the Apple Watch on him for a day.
Tracked steps.
Oh, my God.
Like 30,000.
He does not stop moving.
Yeah.
He basically ran a marathon that day. It was ridiculous.
No.
But,
just to see.
Yeah, just to see, like, where he's at is like, yeah, well, that tracks. Anyways, 15 years, he has that victim mentality where it's like, I don't know why everybody looks at us this way, because all he's known is the Yankees are supposed to be good and they never live up to expectations. Like, there is probably a bunch of young Yankee fans that are like, we should be looked at like the Cubs.
Yeah. The lovable losers.
Wrong.
No.
You are so wrong.
27 World Series titles?
Yes. And they'll tell you about it.
You know what's crazy is I thought the Dodgers had more.
They don't.
Seven?
Yeah. They don't have a lot.
I mean, still, seven is more than most.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they were closer to the Cardinals than that. I thought they were like 12, because Cardinals are number two with 17. And I was like, I thought there was a little bit.
There's a big gap. There's a big gap there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
All right.
But yeah, I mean, God...
They got a World Series.
God, Cardinals and Yankees really kind of are the Lakers Celtics of baseball, aren't they? They just have oodles and oodles and oodles of titles.
Yeah.
And then it's...
I'm torn in this one.
It's spread out after that.
My dad is a Dodgers fan. Dodgers are the reason I'm an Astros fan.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm 100% on board.
One of the reasons I'm an Astros fan.
And then you have a literal relative who pitched for the Yankees.
In a World Series.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm a Cardinals fan just because my parents took me to a Dodgers-Cardinals game when I was 5 years old. So I'm going Dodgers.
I think.
Doyers.
And then, like P1 Anthony points out on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326, rooting for Mike Lynch. Go Yankees.
There you go.
Like, there's a big part of me that I'm pulling for Lyncher, too.
Yeah.
So I want both teams. I hope both teams have fun.
Both teams play hard.
I hope. Yeah. I'm going one step further. I'm going soccer mom.
Give me.
I hope all the kids have fun out there.
Give me seven games, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me seven games.
Drama, baby. Yeah. I will get into it. And look, this is going to be the series where right now, I'm glad we're having this conversation, because right now, I'm going to be indifferent on it.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a moment that is It'll a very minor moment in this series, and I'll be like, nope, done, dead to me.
Yeah, whatever team.
And I will pick a side.
Yeah,
I will pick, and I won't feel good about it, but that's the way my brain works.
I feel good about my Dodgers pick for one reason and one reason only. Not because I think they'll win, but because I love Shohei.
I love Shohei, too.
Like, it's just so good.
I love Shohei.
He's just so good. And it's like, after toiling in Anaheim, / Los Angeles of Anaheim, he deserves it. Wasting away, being the best player on the planet on a team that bad for, 7 years?
Yeah, this is was that
8 years.
Was
seven, that yeah, long? it was long. Yeah,
dang.
Yeah, so yeah, he it's like it's kind of I look at him as like it's the same way I kind of looked at Ichiro of like you're so good and you're never gonna know winning. I'm sorry,
poor Ichiro.
I'm sorry,
poor Felix.
Ichiro, I think, would be talked about so differently if he was on a team that. Performed in the playoffs.
Poor King Griffey Jr.
You know what I mean? Like I think Ichiro would be talked about as like one of the best players of all time if he had been a longtime Yankee or Dodger or Red Sox.
Poor Edgar.
God help. Poor Jay Buhner.
Poor current pitching staff.
The best pitching staff in baseball. Yeah, no, it's. But yeah, no, I'm pro Shohei beyond his greatness.
Yeah,
it's the. Yeah, dude, you paid your dues. you went through hell and back. Go win one for the Gipper.
Go win one for the Gipper. Yeah. Poor Notre Dame, you know? Nobody's giving these kids a shot.
Yeah, you know? God. Them and Kirby Smart.
Nobody believes in us.
Your own network didn't believe us.
Yes, that's going to be the best part.
Five people.
Which team has the audacity to pull the chip on the shoulder?
Oh, the Dodgers do. They have the fifth highest payroll while the Yankees are first. That's it.
Oh.
Just a small town team from just a little desert town in California.
We're not even top four payroll.
Yeah, see?
Not even. Don't pay no attention to
that.
The billions of dollars of contracts.
That are deferred.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Our guys don't get paid much now. Shohei, what a little engine that could story.
I mean, he's only making $10 million a year?
Dude, who'd have thought? You know?
Nothing.
He's like barely in the top 100 paid guys in Major League Baseball.
Not even close.
And nobody believes in him.
No.
You know? Aaron Judge? We got both home run leaders in this series. What are we doing here? I mean...
All that money?
These guys. Humble beginnings.
I want Juan Soto to have the best series in World Series history so that the Yankees have to spend an obscene amount of money to keep him. And we all know how cheap they get with this stuff. Hmm. They nickel and dime on big deals. And it's like, what are you? Remember the Aaron Judge stuff? It was like, are they going to sign him? Like the season he had just had. And it was just like, what? So I hope Soto goes absolutely bonkers, hits like, you know, 800, nine home runs, and the Yankees lose. And they're like, oh, we can't lose him, but it's going to cost us everything.
I'd be here for that.
It's fun. It's fun because just watching
Cashman. Maybe tilting me towards the Dodgers again.
Yeah, you know, it's they get a little squirmish when right. that price range gets up there.
We have fact check on the Vancouver Ford text line. The Yankees have 27 titles. I went and I looked this up because accuracy is important. Did you give your Cardinals 6 extra World Series titles?
What'd I say?
You said 17. But they have 11.
All right.
That's fine.
I said 7 on the Dodgers, and I think I said 17 on the Cardinals because I just had 7 in my head.
That's a simple. You say a lot of words.
Yeah.
Red Sox have 9.
No.
The A's have 9. God. Well, you have to we're going way back here. All right. Giants have 8. Dodgers have 7. Mm-hmm. The Reds and Pirates each have 5.
God.
Yep.
Been a while for those two.
You think? It's been a really long time.
Goodness.
Oh, man.
God, yeah. Both those franchises are so good, too, historically.
Yep.
And they've sucked for so long now.
Yeah, they really have.
It's unfortunate.
They really, really have. Let's see. 1989, the last one for the A's. And then, obviously, the Big Red Machine would be the last one for the Reds. So, man, how about that?
Gross.
It is a little bit gross. It is a little bit gross, but World Series starts. Wait. What happened? How'd we get there? We just sported way too hard.
No, I mean, we danced around it, I think.
Yeah. Well, we got a big football show today.
Yeah, we got a lot of football. Football last night.
Yeah, you want to talk about that Syracuse Pitt game?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't watch a second.
You didn't?
God, no.
Oh, do you know anything about that game?
No.
I'm going to blow your mind later. You're actually going to be like, no way.
Okay.
I don't look anything up on Pitt-Syracuse.
Okay.
Text line, don't spoil this. Mm. I'm going to read you a stat line from that game, and you are going to be blown away.
Okay. I watched a lot of basketball and then in and out of Thursday Night Football. So, yeah, I did not Syracuse-Pitt.
Thursday Night Football is a great game.
Yeah, a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of little nuggies we can pull out of that thing, too, because Rams are seen as sellers at the trade deadline.
Are they now?
No, they're in second place in the NFC West now.
You know what else we can pull on? Huh. Somebody's face mask.
Well, they did that. Mm. They definitely did that.
Good Lord. Yoink. How do you miss that?
Their explanation was even worse.
Goodness.
Plus a stat that cannot be overlooked any longer. We've got to dive into that. We'll have a lot of college football. Great weekend of college football this weekend. Not just a top 20 matchup between the number one Oregon Ducks and number 20 Illinois Illini. The great games, they start tonight down in Vegas, baby, as Boise State and UNLV have a matchup. Oregon State heads down to Cal to take on the Golden Bears, and then the NFL slate is locked and loaded. But where we will start is with that Thursday night football game last night. A lot of threads to pull on. This is Danny Dusty on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We got down to the
gate and I was... Last night, Thursday Night Football gave us an upset. The Los Angeles Rams knock off the Minnesota Vikings 30-20 on Thursday Night Football.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, well, we probably should have seen it coming.
Mm.
This is the stat of the season so far in the National Football League. Teams that come off a game against the Detroit Lions have now fallen to 0-5 this season.
Is this the Stanford effect?
It 100% is the Stanford effect. the Minnesota Vikings are the latest victim with their 30-20 loss. Remember, they just suffered their first defeat of the season.
Last second field goal by the Lions of Detroit.
And here's the thing. They beat your face in for 60 minutes. And then they say, all right, who's next? So
next.
If you are going to go ahead and bet against a team, I would say the safest bet would be next week. Oh, well, it's going to be 0-6. Bet against the Titans. We were probably going to do that anyways, but I mean, poor Tennessee Titans. Every team that has come off of a game against the Detroit Lions has followed up with a loss. So 0-5 is now the number. That's incredible to think about. Think in the National Football League, to have a number like that.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive.
But I think it is a testament to the physicality that the Lions play with. It is a testament to kind of the grinder that they put you through mentally the week of and then during a game. Look no further than what Ben Johnson does to your defense, where you're on edge the entire game because you'll be on your toes literally the entire game. You don't know what's coming. And they play with a physicality and they just beat you up and wear you down. But outside of that being the big indicator that we should have all been looking for, but we didn't, the Minnesota Vikings could not run the football.
No, not at all. And it's kind of weird. Like if you're box score hunting the day after, that's the only thing in here where you're like, no, the Vikings were either even or better than in the Rams in basically every category except for really running the yards or the rushing yards and converting third downs.
Those two things are tied together, though.
Exactly.
I mean, when you look at the fact that if you can't run the ball on first and second down, you're in third and longs,
you're deep.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how good Justin Jefferson is. He was incredible last night. That catch he had on the sideline was absolutely bonkers.
I had some people saying I saw some people saying on the timeline last night that he might be as good as Randy Moss, and it's like, guys, I don't think so.
I don't know. Give it some time. Think of the numbers that he's putting up.
Oh, don't get me wrong, he's tremendous. But
and if he has the longevity, I mean that's going to be the big one. I mean, if you look at it right now, he's on pace for 1,500 yards for the season. 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns.
Pretty damn good.
I would say that is very damn good. And everybody knows where the ball is going to be going, and it is to Justin Jefferson. And 9 targets, 8 catches, 115. He was a dude. But if you can't run the football in the National Football League, in any level of football, you are going to be doomed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Kyren Williams last night was a difference maker for L.A.
Nothing, never broke a big one, never really got the play that, buried the Vikings. But, God, did he just keep things advancing.
But when you have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp back, that is exactly what you're looking for, right? Matthew Stafford uses those guys underneath extension of the run game, and you're taking dink and dunk yards that just were non-existent for the Minnesota Vikings last night. And I thought Sam Darnold played well. I thought you had a defense that put up an effort that they were scratching and clawing the entire game. That game started with 4 straight drives for touchdowns. Like, McVay and O'Connell were in their bag early. Quarterbacks were dealing. They were moving the ball down the field effectively. But as the game wears on and the defenses adjust and all of a sudden everybody settles in,
the running game starts to matter.
The running game 100% matters. And then the ability to get home. Darnold sacked 3 times. Stafford kept clean. Shown a little mobility. Matthew Stafford running around, getting the ball out. That was
not bad for a guy who's basically, got a rod through his spine.
Yeah, that was an incredible effort by the Rams, and they needed it. And look, a big factor to the Vikings' inability to run the ball in the second half was the fact they lost Christian Darrisaw for the year.
For the season, which I think bigger question is are the Vikings in trouble?
I asked this yesterday. Like, we've seen this before. Teams start hot. Mm-hmm. They go unbeaten. The shine comes off them. They get that first loss. And some teams will elevate after that. And it's that gut check mm-hmm. where things start clicking. Other teams, things start to unravel a little bit. It didn't appear that Minnesota was unraveling.
No.
And then you lose
Darrisaw, which
that's a big one. And that goes a long way to not being able to run the ball in the second half. Yeah. And I know Kevin O'Connell's getting a lot of heat because were they on the 5-yard line? Or I thought they may have been even inside the 5-yard line on the last drive of the half. Mm-hmm. And no, they were on the 3-yard line.
When they came out empty.
And they ran the ball. No, they're on their minus three. They ran the ball, mm-hmm. and Kevin O'Connell's catching heat for, why didn't you just take a knee? Well, your quarterback is already feet on the 1-yard line.
Yeah, you don't
if the ball is on
that,
the three.
Yeah.
And so he would have to, no matter what, you're going to have to get a little push forward. He decided to just go with a handoff, mm-hmm. ran the ball. Darrisaw gets hurt. End of the half. And boy, that changed everything they were trying to do in the second half as far as getting a run game established. Because offensive linemen in a 53-man roster, you don't have a lot of depth your offensive linemen, high-level guys.
I would say the drop-off is pretty substantial. You might have one guy on your bench who's going to be your fill-in guard, and you have one guy who might be your fill-in tackle, and mm-hmm. the drop-off, depending on if they're a left or a right, could be pretty substantial. Or now your right's moving over to the left, and he's a little bit out of sorts, and it's just, you know, everything that kind of goes with that.
What are we thinking here, the way that game ended, though? Because we had a 28-20 game. Yeah. The Rams punt the ball, and what's his name? Evans? Punter? I think it's Evans. He pins him inside the 5-yard line.
Ethan Evans?
Yeah. That's not a kicker name at all. Nobody would ever expect that. Pins him inside the 5. Mm-hmm. And then you have Darnold goes back, incompletion, second play. You're like, all right, we could have a 95-yard drive. This could be epic. This mm-hmm. could be everything that would last 2 minutes of the game. Darnold gets wrapped up in the end zone, literally sacked by his face mask. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vancouver for text line, I thought all scoring plays in the NFL were automatically reviewed. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm in this. And like, I guess you can't throw the flag in that review, but I mean, this wasn't...
Tell that to Texas, Georgia officials. Yeah, I mean, they could pick one up, you could throw one, right?
I mean, how you miss that when we protect and cover and cater and just defer to quarterbacks at all times, and you see him get yanked down by it.
He was yanked down by his face mask. They rule it a safety. And I mean, everybody... Herbie, Al Michaels, everybody watching the game.
The defender put his hands up because he thought, like, oh, crap.
Well, yeah, he knew he screwed up.
Yeah.
He knew he screwed up. And that would have been 15 yards, right? That pushes you all the way out. You get a free first down. Clock should be stopped. Instead, it's a safety. Makes it a 10-point game. That game is over at that point, right? Trey Blake, the official. Oh, boy. Pool reporter asked some questions, and I believe on the heels of the Texas-Georgia game, I've said this several times before, why don't we hear from officials?
Because they're cowards.
We get a pool reporter mm-hmm. in the pros, right? The NBA gets the same thing. Here is the question and answer that Trey Blake gave to the pool reporter. And the worst thing about it is that there's no live camera in there, so all we get is the text of what happened. We don't get to see inflection of voice. We don't get to see it. All we have to do is just read. Question. On the Vikings' last offensive play, it looked as if the quarterback had his face mask pulled. What did you guys see on that play? Blake. Well, on that play, the quarterback was facing the opposite direction from me, so I did not have a good look at it. I did not have a look, and I did not see the face mask being pulled, obviously. The umpire had players between him and the quarterback, so he did not get a good look at it. He was blocked out as well. So, that was the thing. We did not see it, so we could not call it. We couldn't see it. Was there a discussion on the field? Because obviously the Vikings were complaining about it. Did your crew have a discussion about it? Hey, did we miss this or anything like that on the field? On the field, we definitely did discuss it because they did bring up a concern. We discussed it as a crew, but we weren't able to see it on the field, so we weren't able to make that call. Question, is that play reviewable? Blake, it is not reviewable. So scoring play is reviewable. Mm-hmm. Face mask is not. That that response is even worse when you see the still shots of that play.
On the thing, I was like, you know who did see it? Sam Darnold, whose head was turned around like an owl's.
Okay,
like,
so
that's the thing. Is like, I don't. I hate to use this example, but the USC Michigan game,
mm-hmm.
when Miller-Moss got pulled down, he had his head tucked, and it was difficult to see when Mason Graham grabbed the hold of him and pulled it down by it. It's like, they should have gotten it, but I can see how they could go, I didn't see that, because it was a downward pull motion where his head was already tucked and he was kind of covering the ball, and it's a little bit of a mess in there.
Yeah,
this was an outstretched arm where a guy, you can read Darnold on the back of his jersey, yet you can see his face.
Now,
that should tell you everything you need to know.
When you see the still shot of the white hat who is looking at Sam Darnold getting pulled down by his face mask,
mm-hmm.
and then you see the defender immediately put his hands on his head.
Like, oh no.
What else was he looking at? And then you see there is the umpire that he mentioned there. He said he was blocked by it. There is a point where the left tackle and the defensive end are in his line of sight. But at the same time, there's also a still shot immediately after that where you can see the back judge has a clear view of Sam Darnold's head being turned around.
He looks like a freaking owl, dude. I'm not kidding. His head is completely turned around. And the look on his face just says, help!
It was cartoonish.
No, it is.
I always say this in, like, look, referees have a really tough job.
Yeah, but this is the stuff you can't miss.
Cannot miss. And I think that it was brought up by Mina Kimes.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the Super Challenge that they have in the UFL?
Yeah.
The Super Challenge is, and if a coach gets one per game,
mm-hmm.
he can use it one time and one time only. Even if he wins, you get one Super Challenge.
Yep.
I would be down for the Super Challenge.
I'm down.
Because it's anything.
Anything.
It is non-reviewable play. Mm-hmm. No,
now
go
it's reviewable.
Watch that.
Yeah.
You screwed that up. My thinking on the Super Challenge, though, is that what are the chances that Kevin O'Connell still has his Super Challenge
sure.
with 1:45 to go
probably
in the game,
not.
Right? He's probably going to see a moment in the game where there's a hold
mm-hmm.
because holding happens on every play. They miss it. And he's like, no, Super Challenge! I'm going to use it. But if the Super Challenge was there, that's the time.
Yeah.
Sky Judge. I think a Sky Judge is 100% in that moment. That is where he is needed. That is where he is useful.
You know what would be interesting is the place for the Sky Judge is, let's say it's only something you can bring in on either scoring plays or change of possession. They can't say Sky Judge can't throw flags, but let's say a change of possession or a scoring play happens, you can go, and then one team's going,
I understand that.
Or whatever it is, but then you can go to them and they can be like, yeah, it happened.
I think those should be the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other one would be anytime the officials are conferencing. So
that they can go to it.
Like they say, hey, I couldn't see it. I didn't see it. What did you see? And then it has to be, and I'm talking, this has to be it has to be clear and obvious, right? This can't be, we waste 2 minutes going back, super slow-mo. It is, nope, clearly missed it. Boom.
On the pool reporter real quick.
You get 30 seconds. How about 30 seconds?
The pool reporter not having the balls to say there was a face mask and said it appeared that there looked like there might have been a face mask. No, if you're going to be the pool reporter, go in there and go, there was a face mask at the end of the game that you guys didn't call.
Ooh, I like that.
No, seriously, like because this isn't an appear-to-be situation. We all saw three fingers wrapped through the eye hole, twisting the guy's head backwards 140 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are we doing here?
Yep.
Quit dancing around it and don't give him the wiggle room to get out of, well, let me explain why. It's like, no, tell us how and why you missed this call.
Vancouver 4, text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver 4. They treat you right before, during, and after a play. Visit them online at vancouver4.com. People are saying, isn't that a scoring play? It was a safety. All scoring plays are reviewed.
You can't that review is true. For penalty.
Penalties are non-reviewable. So even on a scoring play, a penalty is a non-reviewable action. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Are we good there? So that is why the play was reviewed, and it was Sam Darnold was tackled in the end zone. They ruled it a safety. The penalty aspect in a missed penalty is not a reviewable action. So that is where...
Ta-da!
That, and I, it, look, there's... I think the NFL, I think college football, I think high school football, they need to tear up their rule books.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to reassess their the way that
how
the game is officiated.
Yes.
That rule book needs to go from 200 pages
down
to
about
50.
20. Yeah.
Yeah. And at that point, it makes life a lot easier for the officials.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, the way the rule book is made right now, you read through the rule book and you're going down, you'll be like, oh, okay, so that's legal. And then as you keep reading, you're like, wait, what was just legal is now illegal.
It's like tax code.
Because I don't, I don't get it anymore. Tear it up.
Mm-hmm.
Make this thing streamlined. We have technology now. There's no way, and look, there's no way every rule should be written the same way as it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We have the technology mm-hmm. now to eliminate a lot of it. It will make life on the officials a lot easier. It will make life for the league a lot easier. So, yeah, great point. They should have thrown a bunch of water bottles on the field. And then all of a sudden, like, one of the officials just, like, accidentally drops the flag.
Oh,
like,
my flag's right
no,
here.
No, this is out the whole time. It was just on the M in Rams in the end zone, and that's why y'all didn't see it. I threw that. It's been there the whole time. Totally been there the whole time. All right, well, I still don't think the Vikings got host, though. They would have had a minute 40.
Yeah, no. I mean,
at that point, they would have had a minute 40 to go 80 yards.
Is it possible? Sure, but is it likely? No.
We are all very upset, but the reality of it is they needed 8 points, and the third and fourth quarters combined, they scored, or actually the second, third, and fourth quarters combined, they scored six.
Yep.
So that would have been a big ask.
Some points would have been helpful at some point in time.
All right. Let's get to Big Kahuna. He's misbehaving over there. Sports Center update. All right, we got some text on the Vancouver Ford text line. 503-864-6326. This smells like a rule change coming for a specific play. The NFL's never done that before.
No.
Involving the Rams. Getting away with a penalty to win a game. Never has that happened.
Yeah, just wipe somebody out on the sideline, call it good.
The best part of that, the Rams, Saints, and Saints probably going to win the Super Bowl
that year. That's the most egregious non-call in the history of NFL, isn't it?
That PI?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Max Unger's final game in the NFL.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So his final game as a Seahawk was Malcolm Butler.
Oh, good God, man.
His final... His final game in the NFL was that play.
That's gut-wrenching.
Yeah. But he told a great story. Here's a program pod plug right here. He came on the program with Cole Linehan and I, and we were talking to him about that, and he said the only good part that came out of that call was he was at Mardi Gras that year, and he said every float had a reference to
that.
the blind official, to the Rams getting away with one, stealing one. He goes, that was like the only good thing that came out of that. And it, like, New Orleans, I was about to be set on fire because of that one. This is not good for the National Football League. Here's the one that says, a ref should be fined when they miss blatant calls. How do you feel about that one?
I mean, they are.
Well, they're downgraded. They're not fined, but they miss out on like playoff opportunities and playoff games.
Didn't Hockey Lee, wasn't that the big thing when they suspended him for 2 weeks for that blown call? Do you remember the big thing when Ed Hockey Lee got suspended for 2 weeks? I thought they fined him on that too.
Really?
I swear they did. I could be wrong. This was a long time ago.
Well, I mean, I guess like if you want to call a fine not getting a game check, right?
Right? Yeah. I could have swore he actually got fined, though, too. I could be wrong, but I know he obviously got suspended for 2 weeks. And so it's these, you know, they're taking pay away for not working.
Yeah.
But I think your salary as a referee should be tied to your effectiveness as an official.
Yeah. I'm looking this up here, and officials, of course, cannot be penalized in game, missed calls and performance can be led to disciplinary action up to including dismissal from the NFL. So they just get suspended right now.
Okay. Which is, again, in a way of itself, a fine because you get paid.
Because, the higher you are graded, the
more games, more opportunities, and the more prestigious.
Postseason games. That's how the playoffs are officiated, as the highest graded officials. But we always talk about this, and this is absolutely insane, because these rule books are so big and so large, right? Some of the guys that we feel are bad officials actually grade out okay, because there is so much subjectivity to the playbook or the rule book. Scott Foster is a great example of this.
Yes.
Scott Foster is a terrible official in every fan and every team's eyes, yet he's in the NBA finals almost every damn year.
And
or conference finals.
Jason Quick wrote an article about him a couple weeks ago. God, it might have been a couple months ago. It was pretty good. But in that, they highlight some of the stuff the NBA does and doesn't do. And then this is why I've, for a literal decade, have called for, much like the NFL rulebook being torn up, I have called for the NBA to dismantle the NBA refs union and start from scratch. Because there's no world that exists.
Union Buster Morang over here.
They should. They should destroy the union from the ground up and build from scratch. Because there's no world that exists where Scott Foster should be anywhere close to being a high-level official in your sport. It just shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if your standards and your grading principles leads you, or the conclusion is that Scott Foster is one of your better officials, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Here's a text that says EPL has figured out, that'd be the English Premier League, has figured out a replay review. NFL has no excuse not to employ something similar. VAR gets to chime in and point out when the white hat misses something. We can hear the discussion during the review and the right call surfaces more often than not.
Yeah, but they also don't have rules for what they can and can't look for. It's they go to VAR and then they look at whatever they need to look at.
But with soccer, the rule book, very thin.
Mm-hmm.
And like offsides, very hard to describe, very hard. And there is some ambiguity to it, but it is very clear when you have something like VAR to say, all right, when the ball was put to play, and was the player offsides or not? Right.
Like it's not a matter of like, was that, you know, because in the past it was, even if it was super, super, super tight, like to the eyeball, it was more about intent.
If you want to see a game get ugly with penalties, have VAR for holding.
Oh, good Lord.
They'd be like, nope, hold. Hold. There's eight holds on this one play.
And you're going to have defensive holding, too, because they're trying to hold a guy up so they can't get to the next level. Like, holding is one of those things where it's much like the Supreme Court case. You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
And if,
porn.
Yeah. If it's on the back side of the play, not holding.
Yeah.
If it's on the strong side of the play, it's holding. It's pretty much the rule that, whether it's high school all the way up to the NFL. That's, you know, because that's just the way it goes.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we got a lot out of that.
Refs.
You want your mind to be truly blown?
Mm.
I got some mind-blowing stuff for you.
I like it.
I will give you a couple of your numbers, guy.
Mm.
You are the Danny and Dusty math nerd of the show. And I love you for that.
Mm.
I will give you some numbers, and I want you to dissect what happened in this game.
Okay.
All right. Next, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, you are our numbers guy. You love analytics. You love numbers. I want to throw some numbers off of you, and you to tell me what you believe the statistical outcome would be. Okay? We're going to start easy with this.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Team 1 runs 9 plays for 19 yards, only accrues 1 first down offensively. Okay? Team 2... 28 plays, 84 yards, 6 first downs.
Mm.
Okay?
They really just going 3 yards in a cloud of dust there.
Which team leads 17-0?
You would think the other one, team two, but I would imagine this is team one.
It would be team one.
Two pick sixes? Scoop and score? What do we got?
Well, it would be team one does lead 17-0. This is of the Syracuse Pitt game, okay, where Pitt stormed out to a 17-0 lead on the Syracuse Orange before their offense drove down the field and scored a touchdown, okay, to take a 24-0 lead. The reason why they were able to have such bad numbers yet have a three-score advantage...
Oh, God, Kyle McCord.
...is because of Kyle McCord, who started the game 3 of 11 for 36 yards, three touchdowns...
Three interceptions.
No.
To the other team.
Mm-hmm. He actually had zero touchdowns, three interceptions. He ended up throwing three pick sixes.
Good
two of them...
God.
Two of them came on their opening four drives.
My goodness.
It went Pitt punt, Syracuse pick six, Syracuse interception, Pitt field goal, Syracuse pick six.
Good God.
Kyle McCord finished the game. Okay.
I just looked at his stat line for the first time.
35 of 64, 321 yards, zero touchdowns, five interceptions, three of which were returned for touchdowns in the first half.
Well, that's what happens when you run for 0.2 yards.
Per carry.
Per carry.
I have never, like, think of this. Pitt won a football game 41-13 over Syracuse. They were 2 of 9 on third down.
They didn't have 200 yards of offense.
They had 217 yards of offense. 144 passing, 73 rushing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't count for the backup quarterback there. That's my mistake.
They had 217 yards of total offense.
That's got to be the most points ever scored with the least amount of yards. 200 yards of offense, 41 points. Like, it's the math there is just insane.
Syracuse possessed the ball for 41 minutes and 12 seconds.
Oh my God.
And lost 41-13.
How do you possess the ball for that long and run for 6 yards?
Well, you throw three pick sixes.
But I mean, seriously though, think about this. How do you possess the ball that long if you only run for 6 yards?
Because you spot them 17 points out the gate and you have to throw the football. Running the ball gets you nowhere. You're trying to make up three scores. Like, you have no other choice.
They still ran the ball 29 times. The number of plays here is insane. 64 passing plays, 29 rushes. You get damn near 90-plus plays out there. Like, what the
hell? They ran 44 plays.
They got doubled up. That's insane. Like, if you're an offensive coordinator and you've got this lead, I mean, you're not doing anything, right? You're just handing it off between the tackles and like occasionally, I mean, again, they threw the ball 22 times and seven of those were their backup quarterback.
Crazy thing about this, heading into that game, Syracuse was 5-1 with their one loss being a 26-24 loss to Stanford in week three. They had, remember, they beat UNLV, which was a top 25 team. They beat NC State, which was a darling preseason. They have not lived up to that.
No.
Of being like a playoff
disruptor.
Buster.
Yeah.
Right? They have come out and they've, you sit there and you're like, oh, wow. All right. This is why preseason polls suck, is because it broke everybody's brain, the preseason rankings, as to what this team was. They also beat Georgia Tech in week two after Georgia Tech beat Florida State, right? Remember that, where everybody was really high on Georgia Tech?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, well, they lost to Syracuse. And we all went, well, hey, maybe Syracuse is pretty good. They are not.
They're not.
They are
Maybe Pitt's pretty good.
I think Pitt is pretty good. They're undefeated, man. Mm-hmm. They are now 7-0 in unbeaten in conference play. Everybody's talking about Clemson and Miami, but here comes Pitt just plugging right along. So that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. I don't know if I...
Yeah, that's definitely up there.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that before. And the fact that the way that it happened, like three pick sixes in the first half...
It's insane.
...of a game.
Yeah. I mean, the likelihood of getting one is very small.
No. And having two in your first four drives?
Yeah, and three, and like it was 34, 39, and 50-something yards. Like, they weren't like little short ones.
No, you want to hear my favorite part of it?
Mm.
Five interceptions to five different players.
So everyone made a play. Were any of them on, like, lobs to the boundary?
Look, everything looked like a lob to the boundary. Kyle McCord sacked himself in that game. Rolled his ankle.
Oh, no.
Literally, had room.
Oh,
nobody
no.
was around him. He was just going to try planting. To, like, quarter roll out and just went, rolled his ankle, fell down. He was like, yeah, it's one of those nights, my dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So the Syracuse Orange.
The NIL check's still clear.
Boy, oh, boy. And I think Ohio State fans are sitting there going, see? We told you he's not very good.
Michigan fans are probably like, still better than what we've got.
We take him.
They would. They would.
Oh, man. I love that.
Gross.
I love that. So, there we go. That fun with stats. You broke the stat game. You knew it was too good to be true. 9 plays, 19 yards, 1 first down to Syracuse's 28 plays, 84 yards, and 6 first downs, yet Pitt led that game 17-0 early because of 2 pick sixes and another pick leading to a field goal. God bless college football. I love it. Let's talk some college football.
Let's get into it.
We got some great games coming up this weekend, and it all starts tonight. Danny Dusty on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.